made the gospel message for the day. Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 30. It is just like a man who went on a journey and who called his servants to put his wealth in their charge. To one he gave 5 talents, to one 2 talents, to another 1, to each one according to his ability. And immediately he went on the journey. And the one who received 5 talents then went and traded with them, and he earned 5 more. Likewise, the second one he gained by trading gained 2 more. But the one who received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants returned and took an accounting from them. The one who had received 5 talents came up and offered 5 others and said to him, "My Lord, you gave me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained 5 others to them." The Lord said to him, "Well done, and good, and reliable servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will appoint you over much. Enter into your master's joy." Then the one with 2 talents came, and he said, "My Lord, you gave me 2 talents. Behold, I gained 2 others to them." And his Lord said to him, "Well done, good and reliable servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will appoint you over much. Enter into your master's joy." Then the one who received 1 talent also came up, and he said, "My Lord, I know that you are a hard man, and you reap where you did not sow, and you gather where you did not scatter. And so I was afraid, and I went and I hid your talent in the ground. Here it is. It's your own 1 talent. The Lord answered him and said to him, "Oh, wicked and lazy servant, you knew me, that I reap where I did not sow, and I gather where I did not scatter. You should have put my money in the exchange, and when I returned, and would have, I could have demanded my own with interest. Therefore, take away the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For to him who has, it shall be given, and it shall be increased to him. But he who has not, even that which he has shall be taken away from him. And the idle servant they threw into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Amen. Father God, we pray your inspiration and guidance in the message this morning. Father, everyone is here to hear from you, not from me. They need your wisdom, your direction, not whatever pitiful little thing I might be able to offer. So God, we open up our hearts, and our souls to you to receive that which you have for us this morning. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All righty, I can take these off. And now you're just a blur out there. Amen. Praise God. All right. How interesting. What a coincidence that in this passage of Scripture, at that time, a year's worth of salary was referred to as a talent. And so we might figure today on average that a year's salary might be $50,000. Let's put it like that. One talent equals $50,000 on average for a worker in the United States of America. And so in this, of course, to repeat very quickly, a master, an obviously rich master, is leaving on a journey. Maybe he's going to visit his daughter in Chicago, whatever. He's going to be gone for a while, and he realizes that, you know, he just can't leave his money anywhere. It's not going to be able to do anything if he leaves it on its own. So he calls unto himself his 3 most trusted servants. And to one, the Bible says that according to your ability. So to one, he said, this guy here is a sharp troop. And if I'm going to entrust this $250,000 to somebody, I'm going to entrust it to this guy. And know that it's in good hands. And the second guy, well, he's good. He's dependable. He's trustworthy. Doesn't have quite as much snap going for him as the first one, but I know that he has a true and faithful heart, and I am going to give him $100,000. And he can work that $100,000 any way that he wants to, and I know that I'll have a good return when I return from visiting my daughter in Chicago. And then he took Gomer. And Gomer comes along, this guy said, I know, I'm going to be sorry I did this, but Gomer, here's $50,000. Do what you can with it, all right? Don't let me down, boy. I'm giving you a chance to show yourself here faithful. And he gives the third servant $50,000. And he goes on his way. The Bible doesn't tell us how long he's gone. He might have been gone a few months. He might have been gone a year or 2 years. I don't know. But when he comes back, he then makes an accounting of his three servants. And the first one has taken that $250,000 and he's turned it into $500,000. And so he says, Master, you gave me $250,000. Let me proudly return to you $500,000. He knew he'd done a good job. He was proud of himself. And sure enough, the master says, well done. Oh, you did good, boy. That's great. I'm happy with you. Enter into the joy of your Lord. All right, enter into my joy. I'm happy with you. How many of you would like to hear Jesus say, I'm happy with you? Amen. 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 I'm happy with you. I'm just tickled to death over knowing you and seeing what you've done with what I've put into your hands. All right? And so, okay, the guy goes away and he's feeling pretty good. That's right. I got favor from the master. And so the next guy comes up, and the master, of course, he knew this guy's capabilities beforehand. He only gave him 2 talents because he knew that he wasn't able to do much more than, you know, work with 2 talents, $100,000. And this guy comes up, and he did exactly what his Lord expected of him, and he doubled his money. Lord, you gave me $100,000, and I'm happy to say, here's $200,000. I've doubled that. And the master didn't say, well, you didn't do near as good as the first guy did. No, he didn't say that at all. He says, you did good. You did exactly what I expected of you with that $100,000. I'm happy with you. Enter thou into the joy of your Lord. All right. And the second guy goes away just as happy. He didn't do as much, but that was because his master knew that intellectually or whatever, he just wasn't capable of doing a whole lot more, so he only entrusted him with $100,000, all right? And then up comes the third servant, all right? And it was almost like the master expected, hey, what you got for me? Well, I knew that you were a mean boss. And you know, you do things that, you know, you don't deserve. You get things that you just don't deserve. I'm just jealous of you. I don't like the way that you do business. You gave me this $50,000, and I knew that you don't deserve any more from this $50,000. So I dug a hole and buried it. Made sure that nobody robbed me of it. Okay? And so the master didn't treat him the way that he treated the first two. He said, you're a wicked servant. You know what I'm like, and I gave you this opportunity to work a blessing, and you decided to rob me of my blessing. The very least you could have done is take it to the bank, put it in a CD, get some interest on it, and that way when I came back, I'd have $50,000 plus maybe another $5,000 interest. Who knows? 10% interest. And that would be great. But no! You buried it! You didn't do anything with it! And so the servant lost his job, got kicked out, and the idle servant they threw into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You know, when you go outside the city in a third world country where they don't have an electrical grid like we do, when you get out into the country at night, it is dark. Amen? And as a matter of fact, you don't have to get into the country too far. I can remember going down one of the streets in Delhi, India, the capital city of India, and the power goes out. And it got real dark real quick in that big old city, and that was kind of scary. But then all of the merchants are aware of this, and they have their little Honda generators when you go in. Every little store, when you go through the front door, there sits a Honda generator. And so, you know, as soon as the light goes out, you hear them, hundreds of little starter cords being pulled, and then the lights come back on, all right? So outer darkness is pretty scary. You don't have a flashlight or anything like that. It gets dark quick. And so this is really, when you are separated from the city of lights, which is what the kingdom of heaven is called, the opposite of that is just outer darkness. So let's take a look at this. I think it's interesting that this amount of money, $50,000, was referred to as a talent. Because when we hear the word talent today, well, we think of something else, don't we? We think that this person is able to play the piano, or this person is able to cook, or to make wonderful pastries. My mother could make a champion lemon meringue pie. She had won gold ribbons at the county fair for years and years with her lemon meringue pie, and wouldn't you know it, she married somebody whose father, my father's father, my grandfather, loved lemon meringue pie. Oh my goodness. And so my mother sees, here's a chance for me to get on the old boy's good side. He likes lemon meringue pie. I have champion lemon meringue pie. And so she made him a lemon meringue pie. We used to have dinner, Sunday dinner, we'd all, one week it was our house, one week it was at my grandparents' house. And so here it is at my grandparents' house, and mother brings out dessert. I mean, we're talking meringue that thick with the perfect little brown glaze on top. Little bit of sugar sprinkled on. Oh yeah, I'm going to have to find me some lemon meringue cake or pie before this day is over. And she cuts a piece and puts it before my grandfather. He takes a bite, and she's looking. Okay, I know he's going to like this. And he eats on it, and he chews it. He looks at her, and he says, you know, it's all right, but it's not near tart enough. Oh. And my mother was heartbroken. Oh, my goodness, I have failed. And so the next time, she makes another lemon meringue pie. All right, leaves a little bit of sugar out of it. This time, I've got it. He likes tart. He'll have tart, all right? Puts it in front of him. He takes a bite. He says, it's just so bland. You know, there's no flavor there. And my mother is just, her countenance fell, a good New Testament, you know, saying, oh, my goodness. She is just devastated because this is what she's known for. And she's a failure. And so she's all down and feeling bad. My grandmother comes up and says, you know, your father-in-law is a world-class jokester, right? And you are never going to make him a lemon meringue pie that he will admit that he likes. Well, my mother may not be a world-class jokester, but she is a world-class, I will get even with you person. And so the next Sunday, when it was her turn to provide, she made two lemon meringue pies. One made her normal, award-winning way. The other one was six lemons and no sugar. And she cut a piece of that six lemon, no sugar pie and put that in front of my grandfather, and he took a bite of that, and all the fluid was sucked out of his face. He couldn't speak for the longest time. And he looked at my mother finally when the voice returned to his mouth, and he said, you're getting close. It was on. My parents and my grandparents had the same silverware. And so my mother would be washing dishes after my grandparents would leave on Sunday afternoon, and the silverware is dwindling away. And the next Sunday, she's over at my grandparents' house, and she's drying dishes, and they've got an overflowing drawer of silverware. And my mother says to my grandmother, "You know, I'm losing all my silverware." And she says, "Yeah, I know. The old man puts it in his pocket and brings it home." You know, so my mother goes ahead and steals back all of her silverware, and then she goes down to my father's workshop, takes a spoon, a fork, and a knife, puts it in the vise, here's my little 5-foot-nothing mother, and drills a hole through each one of them, and then ties a string, a rope, on each one. And then at my grandfather's sitting place, she ties the other end of that rope to the chair so he can't steal the silverware. And he was, oh my goodness, you talk about being incensed. He put on the best show, all right. But that was what life was like in my family. I mean, we learned to enjoy life, and we played kind of rough. We teased kind of rough at times, but that was our family. First Christmas that Terry shared with us, she thought she had stepped into the twilight zone because my mother shows up in her pink LeMay mules and her feathered whatever that thing was and a boa and whatever, a cigarette on the end of a cigarette holder, and that's how Mama showed up. Oh, and her blonde wig. Don't forget the blonde wig. Showed up with her blonde wig and smoking that cigarette, and my poor bride-to-be is saying, "Who is this?" Mama's kind of eccentric. Okay, don't worry about it. You'll get to lovers. Anyhow, yes, our family was quite the family. So anyhow, talents. My mother had a talent, and she was good at it, and she improved on that so that she was proud of all the gold medals and ribbons and stuff that she had won, because that showed that she had a talent and she had worked at developing that talent and being exceedingly good at that talent. And it's interesting because, as I said, that in this passage of Scripture here, God is, even though He's talking about money, there is a word attached to that money that means something completely different to us today. Talent. And a talent is something that you don't strive to have. A talent is something that you are basically born with. Now, my beautiful bride plays the piano, and we are so blessed by her playing the piano. But she does not have a natural talent in playing the piano. When she plays the piano, she plays it because she has worked hard to do that. And then some people, like one of our stepchildren, Tex, comes along, and he's never had a lesson in his life, and he's just all over that keyboard. And well, he has a natural talent for that, all right? And so a talent is something that God puts in your hands. And today, I pose the question, what has God put in our hand? Moses, as he stood before the burning bush, stood there, his shoes were off, he was wearing his clothes, of course, for modesty. God says, take your shoes off your feet, you're standing on holy ground. And the only thing that Moses had in his hand was his shepherd's staff. And so God asks him the question, what do you have in your hand? Got my staff. Throw it down. He throws it down, becomes a snake. Moses says, that's cool. Ain't never done that before, to my recollection. And I think if my staff would have turned into a snake, I probably would remember that. And so he's sitting there admiring that snake from a distance. And God says, you think that's good? Pick it up. Okay, now this is something different that God is asking. I mean, throwing a simple stick down is one thing. Picking up a serpent is another. But he picks it up, and it changes back into a snake. And from that moment, Moses never called that his stick. That was always the rod of the Lord. And with that, he split the Red Sea. With that, Water came out of the rock. With that held above his head, the armies of Israel vanquished the enemy armies. And it was always the rod of the Lord. Amen? God said, I put this one thing in your hand. First you have to give it to me. So he threw it down. And then God gave it back to him and said, now with this, you are going to deliver my children out of Egypt. And so the question today, what has God put in your hand? Now, it's not enough to receive something from God, but when you have it in your hand, the first thing that Moses did was he gave it to God. He threw it down. And when God gave it back to him, then that wasn't Moses' stick anymore. That was the rod of the Lord. What has God put in your hand that you have given back to him, and now he has given it back to you to use to his glory? See, if it's something that we have, and we could always do this or whatever, that's your talent. That's your ability. That's your whatever. But once you give that to God, you say, take it. It's yours. I used to be a really good drummer. Top-rated drummer in the state of Michigan. All right? And I considered myself a pretty hot-shot drummer. After I got saved, I says, well, you know what? I can do this for the Lord. The Lord says, no, I don't need your talent. And so I took all of my awards and everything, all the memorabilia that I had, and I threw it away. Actually, I burned it. All right? As a sacrifice to the Lord. This is what has typified my life up until now, Lord. I'm a world-class drummer. Not a world-class. I was okay. All right. I didn't have too much competition in those days, okay? And so gave that to the Lord. And then several years later, he said, okay, now it's time to pick up those sticks again. And so I picked up those sticks again. And this time what I did wasn't because of my abilities, it was because of God. These were his drumsticks, and now if I'm going to, you know, beat the drum, it's going to be to his glory and honor. Amen? And in doing that, I was able to, well, our son. Well, Dad, when do I get to play the drums in church? And so I brought him into church, set him at the drums. He says, where's my drumsticks? I said, you don't need drumsticks today. All you're going to do is, here's the metronome, and you beat that bass drum. Because the bass drum is the foundation of being able to keep good tempo. The drummer has to keep the tempo of the band. Can't be speeding up or slowing down. All right? And so for a couple of days, he'd come in to work with me. Oh, yeah, this is going to be the time. You know, I get to play. Just the bass drum. Okay. I'd come in at lunchtime. You hungry? Yeah. Oh, let's go to lunch. Come back from lunch. Well, I do now. Back to the bass drum. And then one day I said, you ready for your sticks? Yeah. I gave him one stick. What do I do with one stick? Boom, tap, boom, tap, boom, tap. And he was signed up with what? Warner Brothers? Which, as a studio artist, who was he signed with? I don't remember. But anyhow, he was such a good percussionist that he was actually under contract to do studio work. And so, I mean, he's a good percussionist. That's something, I mean, I guess it's a talent or whatever. But see, when I laid it down before the Lord, then he gave it back to me in a way that there's just not one guy beating a drum for Jesus, but now there's a bunch of people that I've taught to play the drums that are beating the drum for Jesus. All right? And so that's what the secret is if he's given you a talent and you've surrendered it back to him, then when he gives it to you, you can use that to his glory and his honor. He will never ask you for something that you don't already have in your hand. He didn't ask Moses to jump on an elephant and lead the people out of Egypt because Moses didn't have an elephant. He had a stick. And so God used that sickness. You got to admit, showing up on the back of an elephant would be pretty impressive in that area. All right? But no, it wasn't about being impressive on an elephant. It was using that one thing that God gave back to Moses, his stick. And so the question that I have for each of us here today, what has he given us? All right? And if you haven't already surrendered it to him, then perhaps today is a good day to do that. So that when he allows you to pick that talent back up again, now it's not your talent, but it's what he has given you that now you can use. And you see, he isn't going to ask you for something you don't have. Somebody would say, well, you know, how come the master gave one guy $250,000, another guy $100,000, and another guy $50,000? It's because God knew what the master knew what each one was capable of doing. All right? And so God has already given us talents that we are capable of doing, that chances are there are few others that have that same exact talent. Now, we had a lady. What was her name? She was the one that did the cooking. Agnes. Agnes. How many remember Agnes? Agnes cooked. That's right. And Agnes could feed 50 people for $3.85 or something like that. She had grown up poor, taking care of her family, mom and dad dead, and all that good stuff. And she had learned to cook big meals on next to nothing. Huh? $20. Okay. So she would have meals downstairs. We would go downstairs and people sign up, you know, let's have X amount of people sign up, and she would feed everybody. And you walked away full. All right. And then she would announce, this whole meal cost me $20. Not $20 per person, $20 for everybody. That lady had a talent. And we tried desperately to get her to record those things, because that would be something that a lot of people would like to know, how you can, a big group of people can survive for a little bit of money. But we never got the videos made, and that's really too bad, because now she's passed away, and that talent has been lost. And so before your talent is lost, let me ask you, what has God put in your hand? And what can you do to use that talent to his glory? Amen? To whom much is given, much is required. Conversely, to whom a little is given, a little is required. People say, well, Pastor, when I get to glory, I don't know, you know, am I going to be happy when I get to glory, when I see Jesus? I mean, when he looks at my life and I'm judged, you know, is this going to be a good thing, a bad thing, or whatever? Well, let me tell you a couple of things about the judgment, all right? Number one is if you are raptured out of here, either dead or alive, as we learned about last week, you've already made it to heaven, okay? Your home in heaven is secured. If you've confessed with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you are saved, your home is in heaven. All right? And so you don't have to worry about what we call the great white throne judgment. If you stand before the great white throne, you were never his. All right. But we do have the Bema seat judgment. All right? Bema. B-E-M-A. The Bema seat was where the judges of the Olympic Games would sit. And everyone who ran the race would receive a crown. All right? And so Paul says that our judgment is called the Bema seat judgment. Well, what is our reward? What is our crown going to be based on? It's going to be based on what we did with our lives after we gave our lives to Jesus. What happened to you, what you did before you came to know Jesus, don't worry about. It is under the blood. Amen? And God says, I removed your sins from you as far as the east is from the west. And the sins that we may commit, if we confess unto him, they're gone. I will remove your sins from you as far as the east is from the west. That's gone. Well, then what else is there? The judgment of the talents. what did you do with what God gave you? Now, are you going to lose your place in heaven? Of course not. Our home in heaven is secure. Amen. But there are crowns to be won. There are awards or rewards to receive. And those rewards are based on what we did with what God put in our hand. And so, I don't know. I know Grace, music is her life. And so, you know, she gives that part of her life. And she gives it to us, but actually we're just a byproduct of her giving it back to God. We get to enjoy, the benefits of her taking that gift and giving it back to God. Amen? And so, what talent, what has God put in your hand? Now, somebody gave some money for the church van when we had the food ministry going. And so we went to the Nissan dealership down I-10, and we told them what it was for, and they said, okay, well, we've got the van that you need. And so they brought the van out. Here it is. It's only $32,000. That's not how much we were given, by the way. We were given $10,000. And I said, okay. And then I told them, this is what we're using it for. This is how much money we have. And they said, okay, we will sell it to you for $8,500. And we bought that $32,000 van for, what does that work out to? Almost 20%, 25% off, something like that. All right, somewhere 22%. Or no, for 22% of what it was valued at. So it would be like almost 80% off. This guy had something. He could have sold it to somebody who would have paid the $30,000 or the whatever it was. Brand new, it was $65,000. But he saw the need in the church, and he said, okay, I've got $8,500 in it. I can give it to you for $8,500. Okay, he had something in his hand, and he gave it to God. All right? And we get the benefit of that. Okay, so again, I'm not saying, you know, for your money, your car, whatever, you know, forget about what is the talent that God has put in your hand? What is the passion? See, that a lot of our talent lies where our passion lies. Amen? And you might say, well, my passion has always been being a mother. Or father, grandmother, grand, whatever, and now my kids are grown and whatever, and I really don't feel that I have an avenue for that passion any longer. You know what? There are preemie nurseries that need little hats for premature babies because that's where they lose most of their body heat is through their heads. And there are a couple of churches, just a couple in the greater Houston area, that they crochet little premature baby hats. And there's always a need for them. That is something you want to be a mother or a grandmother to a child that you've never seen and probably never will see. But that is something that you can do. Not for yourself, but for the Lord. So, ask yourself, what is my passion? What is my talent? And now, Jesus, that I've identified my passion, my talent, how can I give that away? How can I use that to bless others? Because remember, folks, what I told you, the Christian walk after you're saved is wrapped up in one verse. Let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and they glorify the Father. The things that you do are seen by unbelievers, and they say, if that's what a believer does, that's what I want to do. And they will come to know Jesus because of your light so shining. Father God, thank you so much for your love. Thank you, Lord, that you've given all of us a passion, a talent. And Lord, I ask only now that you would help each of us to be able to minister this passion, this talent, to the glory and honor of Jesus. Lord, I want the world, when it looks at me, not to see me, but to see Christ in me. This is Jesus living his life out through me, through my passion, through my talent that I've surrendered to him already. And so, Lord, just might be a small group of believers meeting up here on the third floor that nobody else in the world knows about. But Father God, you have put it within our hands to impact the world for you. And so Father, just guide us and help us, Lord. If there is something that we can do to bring glory and honor to you. And again, this isn't working our way into heaven. We can't do a thing to earn our salvation. But Father God, we want to be faithful with what you have put in our hands. I guess, Lord, I'm asking for the illumination of your Holy Spirit to show us, number one, what we do have in our hands, and then number two, how that can be surrendered to you so that the ministry of the church can go forth in this world. And we ask this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.